welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, rare coins. We do wealth and capital preservation programs. We are precious metals portfolio experts, specialists in helping you preserve your wealth and the capital that you've built up. Again, we're always buying and selling all forms of silver and gold. People call and they say, are you buying gold? Are you buying silver? Folks, in over 20 years, there's never been a minute we have not been in that activity. There's times we get way too much and there's times we have way too little, and we're always buying and we're always selling. When we're low, we can acquire it through other sources. When we're long, we wait until we sell it. So that's what we do. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Northwest United States. We do have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, which we basically now just specialize in wholesaling diamonds to the public. We can sell you quality diamonds at a better price than anybody else. We also can help you put them in a ring or whatever you're looking for. If you know what you want, come and see us on that. We have a variety of options for you there, and no one will offer you nicer stones at better prices. And we also always buy scrap gold jewelry diamonds. That's anything that's old, used, you don't watch. We buy Rolex watches. There's other brands. We buy Patek Philippe and things like that. We don't buy old Timexes. We buy things that are gold, so old pocket watches and things like that we also buy as well. Our primary thrust is probably coins and just primarily investment portfolios. There's a couple different avenues of investing that we help people with. One is coin investments. We have a balanced portfolio kind of philosophy, a pyramid I call it, where the base is bullion intrinsic based, the center is semi-numismatic based, and then the top is a little more numismatic, kind of the cherry on the cake. We love silver dollars. They are hard to get sometimes, but they are our favorites. The favorite way to invest. As the market moves and fluctuates, silver dollars are just a lot more stable. They're a lot more solid. They are definitely tied to the precious metals market, but they're because of their severely limited supply and demand. And by silver dollars, I'm talking pre-1933 stuff, basically, and mostly the old U.S. silver Morgans. From the 1920s on into the late 1800s. So that's one of our favorites. We like the old U.S. gold coins when they're available, $20, $10, $5, $2.50, all the way down to the little $1 gold pieces. They've just performed incredibly well over time. When you build a portfolio, there's different markets you ride. There is the, as I said, the straight intrinsic. A lot of people look at that and they say, man, I'm in gold, I'm up, I'm down. But when you have a portfolio that we built, it's not like that. I had a client here recently with a very sizable portfolio that I know very well, and she called, and she'd seen some movements in the metals down, and she was, you know, doing the math and figured she was down this much. She wasn't down at all because we do balanced portfolios, and we put stuff in there that just doesn't react that way. We'll put some in there that does, but a lot that doesn't, some that'll act the countermeasure. And then, you know, occasionally you get people that are just extremely simple-minded. And if I've learned one thing in life, you know, there's definitely a different ways that people perceive things. I mentioned a couple shows ago the Dunning and Kruger effect. It's the more, I guess, the less cognitive somebody is, the smarter they think they are. In other words, the lower the IQ someone has, the smarter they think they are. When you get into people with higher IQs, they think other people with lower IQs are smarter than they are too. So in both cases, everybody thinks the people on the lower end of the spectrum are better than they are. But we, you know, over the years in business, I've learned that people are, you know, when they're at that level and they just can't comprehend complex analysis, it's hard to explain it to them. And so one, you know, I think one point of the book of Proverbs that God provides us kind of circumvents all those issues. What it does is it says, look, seek wise counsel. Okay, if you know someone's wise, it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you're seeking wise counsel, and then you obey, you know, or you get advice and you do what they say or recommend, you don't have to do it yourself. And I think that's a very important biblical principle. When you think of the number of people on earth and the different varieties of experts and specialties that they have, you know, you need to find someone you trust. You need to find someone you respect. And yes, Solomon says money's the answer to everything. Well, first of all, I've seen people try to trash Trump for all kinds of stuff during this election, you know, with his stakes weren't good and all this stuff. But what he did was legal. But not only that, it's not a crime to make money. Biblically, it's bad to be unethical. Sometimes you can be unethical and be legal. But the point is, you can stay within the bounds of the Bible, please God, and make money. You can see that all throughout the Bible. God blessed people financially. So just because somebody's money motivated doesn't make it bad. If you think it does, more than you realize, you have been brainwashed by the cultural Marxism that I've been talking about the last two shows. I mean, the socialistic mentality has snuck into churches. It's snuck into everybody everywhere. People look and they say, well, Jesus was poor, and therefore I should be poor, and you should be poor. I mean, even Bernie Sanders, the flaming left-winging socialist, he's got people that are his supporters that are angry that he's buying a, quote, well, a $525,000, quote, mansion on the lake in Connecticut. Well, $525,000 for a waterfront home is not a lot. And they want their socialist buddy to be their broke college drinking buddy. And it's not bad in America to make a buck. That is what this country's about: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I guess where I'm going with that is, just because, yeah, we do make some money, doesn't make us bad people. We stay way, way, way within ethical bounds. If you understood this industry, many industries, folks, insurance annuities, the levels of commissions on those would absolutely baffle you. If you understood, or whole life, universal life, all these extended life insurance policies where you build value, if you understood how bad these were and how impossible they are to get out of, to me, they're unethical. These companies utterly deceive you. You sign multiple documents. They transfer your money into different funds that basically limit your ability to pull it back out beyond your dreams. I mean, it is a mess and a half. I've dealt with people over and over again. There's nothing more difficult, there's nothing more stringent, more frustrating than trying to help people transfer their wealth out of annuities. Not only is it brutal to get out, the surrender charges are exorbitant. They're unethical. And yet, that industry gets a pass. And so you got to be really careful. People don't think, you know, too hard about stockbrokers. They think, well, you know, they're making their fee in life's life, but they blame it on the stock market. But the truth is, even brokers have serious bias. Merrill Lynch has paid unbelievable billions and billions of dollars in fines for all kinds of scandals, including pump and dump and all this other stuff. Pump and dump is where the company buys a stock and they pump it up. They buy so much, they pump it up. So they'll get into a stock at $8 a share. They'll pump it up to $37 a share. And then they'll have their brokers dump it on their clients at $37 a share. And they'll give their brokers double commission while they're selling that product. The brokers a lot of times don't even know what's going on. They just know the stocks had great performance. They know that the analytics that are provided by the company they work for look good. And, you know, so you got to realize when it comes to you and your money, there are so many potential scandals out there. That's why Coins Plus is a high volume, low margin dealer. My attitude is we can make our money in volume. I want volume. I want the River Nile. For dual reasons. It allows me to just continually adjust my premiums lower and lower and lower because we basically have very little overhead for what's out there. We own the building free and clear. People think, oh, that's a nice building. It's a beautiful building, but it's ours. We hardly have any debt at all. And, you know, we're well capitalized. We have a significant, substantial inventory. If there's one flaw in this business of Coins Plus, the truth is we have way, way, way too big of an inventory. I mean, I have way, way too much stuff I've accumulated over the decades. And it awaits, you know, processing. That's probably our biggest weakness is that's why we're so short on people or why, I mean, that's the product of being short on people and buying a lot of stuff. And that doesn't include, you know, gold and silver bullion so much as it does a vast array of everything you can imagine. So when you're out there dealing with finances, we don't just sell gold and silver, as you know. Coins Plus, from listening to me, we have a strong handle on the financial markets and what's going on out there. I have a strong history in banking and finance and insurance. I've been licensed. I was trained as an actuary. You know, we have real strong backgrounds, Series 6 and 7 licensing, to sell stocks and bonds for years. And, you know, and of course, business ownership in the precious metals and numismatic coins for 20 years plus. And so, you know, overall, I feel like I offer a pretty balanced approach. I filter everything through the Bible. I believe that there's a lot more there than people realize. I think it's really important to learn how to dig into the Hebrew. With modern computers, that's easy to do. I personally use Blue Letter Bible. I don't even know. There might be something way better out there. It's just an old habit I formed years and years back. You can click on a verse, click on the word, get the Hebrew. Once you learn how to read the Hebrew definitions, you start to really understand it. You know, and as I've studied Hebrew more and more, and I'm still pathetic, trust me, I'm getting a really good handle on the Word of God, and it is amazing. The Word of God is powerful. You know, it's like it says in Hebrews 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, you know, able to pierce through joints and marrow. And, you know, it's special. It's when you get into it, it is special. It's unlike any other document ever written in the history of mankind. What are the odds of having 40 authors write 66 books, all of them, getting their message supernaturally and having it not only align, but be interwoven and interlaced and have prophecies being fulfilled? I mean, the Bible is a special book. And those of you who've listened to me understand, I believe the Bible's absolutely sufficient. But I do not believe that it is complete. I believe that there's things, for better or worse, that have been canonized out. I believe there's a lot of early Jewish sage writings, a lot of the early the Mishnah and early tyrannical writings and, you know, Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's just a lot of stuff out there. But you really got to understand to process that stuff. You got to have a big, big picture of how to process that in and understand where it fits and where it goes. And, you know, there's some far out stuff. There's different cultural things where cultures had different ways of emphasizing things and telling stories. And there's just, you know, there's just a different way. And that may be in part why some of that stuff was canonized out, because the average person might get too focused on some pretty interesting facts and details, kind of like A few shows ago, we talked about the firmament above. I mean, in Hebrew, it's crystal clear. It says somehow there was an ocean above us. Crystal clear. It says it shone like a sapphire. That's what the word firmament means. I mean, it's unbelievable in the early Jewish writings that there was a water ocean above us that shone like a blue sapphire, but it was translucent. You could see through it, and it amplified the stars, which could very well be how the early Sethites had such incredible knowledge of things that show up in the Bible, like Mars and her two sisters. The fact that Mars had two moons. People say, well, maybe Mars was closer at one time. Maybe we brushed by. Maybe. But I just think there's some really deep truths left out there. So you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. Coins Plus is the sponsor. We are getting super close to the election, folks. I mean, it's kind of exciting. It's fun to watch. It's very nerve-wracking. It's interesting. I'll tell you what, folks. I really was counting Trump out a while ago. And, you know, obviously, we can all agree, Trump is not the ideal candidate. Let's face it. But Hillary Clinton is the antithesis of what we believe and what God wants and what America stands for. She's somebody who's used her office to enrich in herself. She's sold access to government. Everyone who's been in, near, or around her says she's terrible to be around. Very brutal, very rude, very arrogant. You know, we've got scandal after chaos after scandal surrounding her. And this is, I remember, this is what a Clinton administration looks like. This is what we're going to get. You vote in Hillary, this is what the next at least 4 to 8 years are going to look like. Severe corruption, lying, manipulation. You're going to see people dying mysteriously that play key roles in different investigations. And it just goes on and on like this. And they're making substantial money, huge dollar amounts. They love it. But she wants to get the ultimate pinnacle appointment of the world for a woman. She wants to be president of the United States. Two reasons. One, because it's president of the United States. And two is the bucks would really start flowing once she was the president of the United States. She'd be running the most powerful nation in the history of the world, as would Donald Trump. I mean, they've come out with so many ridiculous false accusations against Trump. There's been something prophetic against Trump or prophetic around Trump. If you've watched this election, he brought up the Henry or Anthony Weiner thing a week ago or so. Anthony Weiner situation comes out. This is Uma Abedin. For those of you who don't know, it's important to understand. Bill Clinton was in office from 92 to 2000, roughly. His wife is Hillary Clinton. His wife has a right-hand girl named Uma Abedin, H-U-M-A, Huma Abedin, A-B-E-D-I-N. Huma is full-blooded, I believe, Saudi Arabian. Huma's story is this. She was born in America, but before the age of 2, she went to Saudi Arabia. Her family moved, okay? Her father is deeply connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. This is all fact, okay? This is fact. Do research. It is crazy. Not only that, there's the one of the main headquarters for the Muslim Brotherhood is her father's address in London. I mean, it's like 23 Gujar Road or something. I mean, it's absolutely irrefutable. Her father's the head of a major faction of Muslim Brotherhood, hardcore anti-Americans. So Huma Abedin goes home to Saudi Arabia with her family before she's 2. At the age of 18, she comes to America to go to college. She's instantly brought in as an intern under Hillary Clinton. She becomes Hillary Clinton's sidekick. Hillary says, if I had a third daughter, Huma would be it. through 9/11. Huma had family relationships with terrorists and jihadists that were overlooked and passed by. She was in places and situations, and her family was connected to people that carried out these acts. There's so much deep information. I have gone in before to the 9/11 conspiracies, folks. This is not 9/11 was an absolute hit job from the inside. Yes, they used jihadists as the decoy. So there were jihadists that believed they were carrying out this terrorist hijacking attack on World Trade Centers. What they did not know is all the coast had been cleared for them so they could conduct it. Explosives had been planted inside the trade towers to bring them down. And they were used to cover up evidence of investigations of Wall Street, investigations of the loss of $2.4 trillion by the Department of Defense. If you look at, in addition, there was a few of them that were real, and then some of the planes were false. There's just a lot of stuff. But Uma Abedin was right in the heart of it, and Hillary was attached to her at the hip. And now she is going to potentially be the Secretary of State. We would have, and by the way, Huma's father, I told you, is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. Huma's parents or mother has written books on Sharia law, basically saying that secular law is destroying the world and all this stuff. And she believes in genital mutilation and all these things that are terrible. Muslims believe women cannot enjoy sexual activity. They believe it's a sin. It's for the pleasure of the man. I'm sorry, but that is not what the God of the Bible says. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Islam is the religion of the devil, folks. Period. And it's infiltrating America. Our politicians, folks, are selling us out. It's all about money. Hillary is making hundreds of millions of dollars. All she has to do is go lie and accept bribes and get millions and millions of dollars. She's sold out. Okay? It's that bad. We were discussing cultural Marxism. All this stuff is conjugating on simultaneously now. I mean, we've got the infiltration of Islam. We've got the worst president we've ever had who just absolutely opened the door to Islamic influence. I don't understand how these people think, other than the fact that maybe there's so much money over there. I mean, we know that Obama got $500 million from the Saudis through Gaza. Saudi has lots of bucks and lots of power. I told you I was in the South Pacific on an island with the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and ourselves. We're the only two on this island for a few days. He is literally the highest ranking Arab in the world. And he has three letters, MJB or something like that, he goes to. But he was the youngest defense minister in the world. He was he's the son of the king. And of course, I met him, and his name's Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud. They call him the independent record calls him the most dangerous man in the world. They call him the most powerful man in the world. He is on first name basis with Hillary, and she meets with him. These people have huge money. This guy started when he was 12 years old, sitting in meetings led by his father, Salman, who was then the president of Saudi Arabia's, or the governor of Saudi Arabia's Riyadh province. And then 17 years later, at 29, he's the youngest defense minister in the world, and he basically has been a brutalist, fighting for jihadism and covering up stuff, and I don't want to get into that, but he is very closely connected to Uma Abedin and Hillary, like on a first name basis. when we were there with him, he asked, a friend of mine, he asked a friend of mine if he knew Hillary Clinton. And the guy, of course, is like, no. But he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, he's asking him questions about the defense system and stuff. And the guy's like, I'm not kind of involved in that. But this guy's so into that stuff, I guess he forgets who he's talking to. He starts asking questions about America's air defense over our own soil. There's some scary stuff, isn't it? I mean, but that just shows you the world they live in. It's kind of like I heard this guy criticizing Trump. Just trashing him. I mean, people just trash this guy. And they were saying, he's such a pile of junk. He says he started out with a small loan from his father of $1 million. And, you know, that's how snooty he is and all this stuff. And it's like he's turned $1 million into $4 to $10 billion, depending who you are or who you believe. It doesn't really matter. But they say, oh, he's so out of touch with reality. Well, I think I told the story when I was in New York at the Waldorf Astoria. We got to meet a general manager. We had a few weird issues come up, and I met the general manager of the entire organization. And he was telling us a story that when they were in the restaurant one time, and one of the Trump boys came in, and they were short-staffed. They were having a lot of problems. This is a 5-star restaurant in New York, and the Trump boy took off his sports coat and started bussing tables and went back into the kitchen and started washing dishes while his people waited at the table, while his fellow people that came in to eat were seated at the table waiting, and he was in back washing dishes with the dishwashers in his suit, you know. And I think that's a special person. Where do you get people like that? They only come from somebody like Donald Trump, who really, yeah, he's coarse and crass and rude and rough around the edges. He's probably exactly the same as the guy wearing the hard hat, you know, crawling down in the sewage pipes. I think that he's just a redneck at heart. He's just a street working blue collar guy at heart. He has no tact or diplomacy, and he may be naive that way. Every single thing that he's predicted has come true within a week. You know, and I talked in the last show, God can use anybody, and he's definitely possibly using Trump. We've talked about what the name means. To me, that means a lot. We were talking about the last three shows. I might as well wrap up what we've been talking about. We were talking about cultural Marxism, and I've kind of gotten through it over 2 days. We talked about the importance of the Second Amendment yesterday or Monday. The real end to cultural Marxism is the Federal Reserve Act. We had Darwin, we had Marx, and then we have John Maynard Keynes. Darwin says God doesn't exist. You know, you are nothing, you're a speck, but he gets rid of God. Marx comes in and says God doesn't exist. You need to rely on your government. Your government becomes God because we are all formed and made to worship a creator. We are designed to worship a supreme being. God put that in us. People say, oh, you know, I love these instincts that they say we've got all these instincts we developed as cavemen. You know, your desire to defend yourself is because you were a caveman. I was reading that garbage today. Everything is because you were a caveman. But I say everything is the way you were created. We have no evidence of this long, ridiculous evolution of mankind. Man was not here, and then man was here. The Bible says the earth got utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. And there's evidence of the destruction before the flood. You know, there's the biblical destruction that came before the flood. And that is when the earth became formless and void, tohu and bohu. So, you know, something happened. The earth's been here. Everything's been here for some period of time. We don't know, but we need to accept what we do know. And what we do know is God said he made man. Chronological evidence, archaeology confirms that. He was not here, and then he was here. You don't have instincts from a caveman, so you can forget about that. I like people who try to take evolution and say, well, maybe we were cavemen, and once we got to a certain point, then we got our spirit. It's like, yeah, that makes sense, folks. Like, God couldn't. I mean, if you understand the magnitude and brevity of creation, of every atom and every cell and every molecule obeying DNA and, you know, all the laws of physics and nature, and I mean, it is so beyond magnificent. Yes, I understand. We cannot comprehend it. But to try to somehow say, well, in order for that to be comprehensible, it had to happen over gazillions of years. I don't know how that makes it more comprehensible. God said he put man here on earth on a day, which we figure is about, you know, 60-some hundred years ago. Okay? So that's it. Man shows up, and man is designed to worship God. There's evidence before the flood of some serious stuff going down in the Bible. We talk about this beast system that was and was not and will come again. I believe it's Baal worship or Islam. It's back. Okay, we've got to understand that. It's here now. It's beginning to rule and reign over the earth. And then that same spirit of anti-godness, of demonic Satanism, the dark side, is taking over the world. Everyone knows something's wrong. Nobody you talk to who's even half coherent can say something's not wrong. So we know something's wrong. And so we get to the point where we get so intelligent, we do Darwinism. And then we do Marxism, which is godlessness and godlessness. Socialism / Marxism is all about money. If you have free market capitalism, how do you take that away? You can't. If you walk in and take it away one day, people say that's just outright theft. They know they've been ripped off. When you use the Federal Reserve and you lie to them and you make them think that it's just a centralized bank that's going to regulate inflation, they're going to continue to circulate gold as a backing. They tell people all this stuff. They continue to use the boilerplate banknotes that said that they were redeemable in gold. They continued to do that until 1929, when they got so many of those notes out because they were loaning money like crazy. They got so many of those supposed gold clause notes out that there was 33-to-1 notes to reserves. And I'm talking like 6,500 metric tons of gold. They had 33 times that in banknote obligations. We started to have a meltdown in our market because the Fed intentionally retracted currency to begin to collapse the economy around them in order to confiscate wealth from the people, because they had produced Federal Reserve notes alongside the gold standard while they were secretly confiscating gold. All gold that got turned into the bank got held. It wasn't getting put back out. And other nations said, you have a problem and you owe us debt, which is another problem. World War I, we weren't that financially sound, but we did use the Federal Reserve Bank to finance it. We loaded up debt like crazy. Somehow we ended up owing other countries debt. They wanted to get paid back in gold. They knew our banknotes were weak and we just had the crash of 29. And that's when they really began to go into full swing. But John Maynard Keynes, before that, he created Keynesian economics, where he said this is the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail, because they had to have a monetary system to take away your wealth without you even knowing it. He said it, quote, he said, it allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. That's what he did. That's what's happening to you. That's what's happening to me each and every day. America is the greatest nation, hands down, to have ever existed. It is not, as Obama and many Europeans claim, a multicultural nation. It is a distinct constitutional republic with specific, unchanging, non-negotiable standards, laws, language, and culture. We are the best. The only thing different between us and other countries is we are better. And that is what we've lost track of. That is what's politically incorrect to say. America is best. America is right. We are Judeo-Christian at root. Obama has said everything contrary to that. We have let the enemy in the door. I think you understand that. Now, we, you know, should Trump get in? Who knows? It could be the biggest mess ever, folks. Not because he's bad, but because he's going to be cleaning house. Cleaning house is ugly. When my wife cleans something, when she decides she's cleaning out the kitchen, I leave the house because she empties cupboards and she gets stuff all over the place. And it drives me batty. I go cupboard by cupboard, not the entire room. You know, it's just, but cleaning house can look real ugly. And I'm afraid that we might get to see that. Now, if we have the support of the media, which we don't, you know, the media is the fourth estate. They have the right for the people to know. And they have lost it, given it up. This thing is absolutely beyond your wildest imaginations. As I know you know, we're walking into absolute uncharted territory in this election. So that's where we're at for that. I think probably what I should do that I haven't done much of lately is we should talk a little bit about financing and funding and investing and these kinds of things. There's a lot of different perspectives out here that people call with and questions, and I think I'd like to talk a little bit about that. So let's talk briefly about IRAs, okay? IRA means individual retirement account. Everybody who works with a company, and not everybody, a lot of people have them, okay? In a nutshell, they really aren't that great of a thing, and here's why. Well, there's so many different variables. In a nutshell, here's why I'm not crazy about them. You pay tax when you earn a dollar. No, on an IRA, that's a Roth. On a regular IRA, you invest pre-tax income. So just let's say you have $1,000 that you don't pay income tax on and you put it in your IRA. Now, the way things have gone, they don't grow ever. They go down. Everybody loses their money. And later, you're pulling out $500. So you don't owe, you owe tax on $500. But if you happen to get into a product that grows like metals have, and people say, oh, they're up, they're down, they talk about this, they talk about that. Folks, metals have over like, they're the strongest financial sector in the history of recorded finance. You know, in like 45 years, they've averaged over 20-some percent per year growth. They're good. You're just going to see them go up, down, sideways. You know, it's all inflation related. You do not buy them for day-to-day speculation. Just like my dad's in the hospital, he's had a serious brain injury. They, you know, you can't watch his improvement day to day. We watch it week to week, but really month to month. With investing, you really watch it year to year. That's really what matters. The highs, the lows, the ups and downs, they come and they go. But metals continue to prevail. So a traditional IRA is a tax advantage arrangement that allows your earnings and the deductible contributions to grow tax deferred. So you don't pay an income tax on the earnings and the deductible contributions until withdrawals are made. But I've seen people put in, let's just say, $1,000, and later on they have $5,000. Now you owe tax on $5,000. But if you have $100,000 and it grows to $500,000, now you owe tax on the full high bracket, where now the current high tax bracket's 40%. If Hillary gets in, it'll be at least 55%. She wants to get it to where you pay a tax on the asset 1% a year on any asset you own. I mean, do you know how dumb that is? That's scary to me, folks. They add up everything you own from your house to your 401k, everything. So you will pay. On a 401k or IRA, you will pay. If it grows and grows and grows, which I hope it does, which that's your goal, you're going to just pay more. And by the age of 70 and a half, you have to start withdrawing. You have no way about it. If you die and pass it on to the next generation, they have to pay a full tax on the full amount immediately. And the value basis is the day you die. And it's going to get hit with taxes one way or the other. They're getting it, okay? So it's, you know, you're deferring your taxes. People say, oh, it gives you more money to grow. if you use other forms, like if you just build your own IRA 401k in precious metals, in other words, you take the money either out of an IRA or 401k, or you begin to save on the side, it's yours. It's off the grid. Now, the big thing that's going on around right now is people are saying you can take your IRA or 401k and you can hold it yourself. And they say it's in the form of American Gold Eagles because they're non-reportable and there's all these loophole laws. Folks, that's reckless. It is not going to work that way. There's people pushing you, giving you crazy tax advice. The IRS does not see it that way, and it will sting you. Do not do it. If you're going to take it out, take it out. Or the other thing you could do is if you want to take it out and hold it at home in a private vault, which I completely understand, take it out, keep records, keep it completely separate from any other investments you make. And if at any point in the future the IRS contacts you, you say, I still have it, it's right here. Or we have someone like us hold it and call us a trustee. There's ways to do this, to cover yourself. So later on, if they say you owe these taxes, you go, no, I have it right here. That's my understanding. There's different ways to deal with it. But to just take it out and cash it out and expect not to pay a tax on it is pure foolishness. It just, unfortunately, the IRS does not let you get away with that. What I did with mine, what my parents did with theirs, what friends, sisters, brothers, you name it, what we've done over the years, they cash out. They do a rollout. And yes, you're going to have a big tax bill come in the next year, April 16th or whatever it is, of the following year. But you let your metal grow. You take whatever you have to out of it to pay. And then from then on, it's yours. It's off the grid. It's private. It's off the radar screen. It's yours. So if it doubles, triples, quadruples, it's yours. That's what we recommend. Okay? That's our recommendation. To have your own private. The point of precious metals is to own them and hold them. Otherwise, it's just another investment that somebody can scandalize you of. You know, I talked to a gal yesterday. She was saying, oh, I gotta hide them and lock them up. I said, yeah, that's the one thing about true wealth. You do. You have to protect it because it's real money. And someone can take it and cash it. It's real money. It's not cyber data at the end of some line. Folks, there's so many things going on. We had this very few people caught a few weeks ago when we had this huge virus blast all these DNS servers of all these huge companies, Amazon, Twitter, all these big organizations. They were showing off. They were showing what they could do and what they probably will do. Some say it was a false flag event. Do you know what resolved that? It wasn't programmers de-hacking. It was the people that sent out the virus, sent out the antidote and fixed it. And to show, they were showing us something. They were showing us the weakness of our system. They were showing that they can literally dissolve our existence, folks. Understand this. You have money with Fidelity or somebody, it can absolutely be vaporized. You will have nothing. That's worst case. Best case is you stay in the stock market or a money market fund. You get it destroyed by inflation. Or if you're in stock, you collapse. You know, you're betting on a company's ability to produce all these things. When you have paper investments, you are betting on a man's ability to perform and protect and provide and preserve your wealth. You're betting on man. When you buy precious metals-based assets, when you buy hard assets, and I mean, this applies to real estate. This applies to, you know, rare coins and precious metals and precious stones and even human life. You're betting on what God made and said it is good. Tov, it is the greatest blessing. It is solid. That's the point. The point isn't, oh, is it up or down today? Oh, I saw gold went up 27 cents. You know, that's not the point. That is absolutely an American mess thinking. Folks, the bottom line is you want to preserve and protect your wealth and capital. You are to save it. You know, when the market went really bad in 08, one thing that really made people wealthy, like people go, wow, I have gold and silver, so it'll go up if things goes bad. Yep, but The other thing that happened is, in addition to the metals going up, the people that have paper went down. So it was relatively huge. So if people had $100,000 and the market collapsed and they had 20, and you had $100,000 and the market got hot at the same time and you had 300,000, now your 300 compares to some other guy's 20,000. That's how the Kennedys and the Aldriches and the Morgans and all these guys during the Great Depression went around and bought up real estate for pennies on the dollar. Why did they buy real estate? Oh, let me guess, because it's a biblical hard asset that never goes away. No one can take it away, hypothetically, you know what I mean. No one can take the value or asset base of it away. It is what it is, and it always will be what it is. It's permanently solid. And you have to be smart. I've watched guys try to take my advice on that and buy completely stupid properties that have been sitting on the market for years, raw land, things that are just foolish. Raw land, folks, is tough. You can only finance up to half of it. Well, I'm not financing. I have cash. Good. Well, later on when you go to sell it, someone might try to finance it. Raw land is everywhere. If it's not special, special, special with a view of water or something, be careful. The fact that you can think about it and buy it and take your own sweet time and you've watched it on the market for years should tell you something. People have this innate sense of urgency that's unnecessary. There's also a Roth IRA, which allows earnings and deductible contributions to grow tax-free. But all the tax benefits associated with a Roth IRA happen when withdrawals are made. Withdrawals are subject to a bunch of different rules and limits, but they aren't taxed, okay? There are no tax benefits associated with contributions because all the contributions to a Roth IRA are made after the money's been taxed. And then the term IRA, we move you into an IRA, independent retirement account. That falls, it's the same umbrella. It's the big umbrella. It's the 401 tax law. And it just means that we can do precious metals IRAs. We do them all day, all the time. You come in, we have you fill out a little bit of stuff. We can do most of it over the phone. We get you set up an authorization for disbursement. We don't mark up any of the fees. Everything is straight our cost. We get you set up. We pick out the metals. You sign for them. And then we put them into the safe deposit box. Then they're locked up in a trustee relationship where you cannot access them without tax recording, without records changing hands. And they track how many you got. So basically, that's something we do. Roll over, roll out. Just think about that. You really have to ask yourself what you can afford to lose because it's coming. It's always coming. People ask a lot of questions sometimes about numismatic coins. Okay, folks, they're not way out there like people think. They are the largest traded financial sector in the world. Numismatic coins. Billions of billions and billions, actually hundreds of billions of dollars trade hands in the coin market every year. It's huge. I mean, it's liquid, liquid, liquid. It's been liquid going all the way back. I read a book, the value of coins in Roman times and in Byzantine times and the Dark Ages and during the Crusades and the Victorian era and French Renaissance. They are huge, good investments. When you buy coins that are investment coins from a nation like America, hang on. I mean, that's the good stuff, okay? We hand select stuff. There's a lot of coins in the world, old coins. They're not all good investments. A lot of them will sell in bulk or this or that. But we do help you to get a wonderful portfolio. We know this market well. We can help you secure your stuff well. We really jam it down to wholesale. We're good at it. We hand pick stuff. We don't sell junk. All that might scare you when I say that. What I'm telling you is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. You got to trust somebody with your money. You give it a shot. A friend of mine was on his deathbed here a few years ago. The very last thing he told his wife, she had $1 million life insurance and some other stuff. The very last thing he told her was to come and see me. to take care of her financially, and I have. But I promise we take that responsibility that serious. Everyone who deals with us when we build a, that's why we don't build portfolios in 7 minutes while you wait. You drop off the money, you wait a few days. We have meetings and discussions, and we have a lot of product going through. We sort and organize and segregate, and we look at the person and the goals and what else do they have, and what is, you know, we're making your whole life a portfolio. If you have a home, we consider that part of your investment basis. We even kind of consider where it is. Do you have two? You know, all these things go into our decision making, so we take it serious. When it comes to numismatics, you got scarcity, okay? It's not just because they're old. People always say, oh, I have a coin from 1870. That means nothing. When you look at the state quarter program, people are like, why did these do nothing? Well, the reason is if you even go back to when the British ruled the world, you can get British large cents from the early 1800s, late 1700s for like 50 cents. I mean, they're super old, cool coins, but there's very little value to them. Scarcity is what gives it value. So the nature of the really difficult coins to find. Everyone doesn't have one in their attic. That's why they're called rare coins. That is also what makes their values increase substantially over time. The number of coins originally minted has an effect on it, but that's not always the case. It's the indication of current scarcity that represents the value of a coin. We sell independent third-party graded coins when you get into expensive investment grade stuff. And, you know, condition affects the value of a coin, supply, demand. That's all really, really a big deal. It's, you know, it really is a supply and demand thing, and you need to understand that. $20 gold pieces, we love those. They're a huge part of what we do. The old pre-33 stuff. And so, folks, we get lost, I guess, a little bit in what's going on in the world with all the Trump and Clinton lying and yelling. But really what we have to remember, we are in a geopolitical and economic mess globally. It hasn't gotten better. Post 9/11, I believe that Revelation 17 and a half and 18 tells us that 9/11 was the destruction of Mystery Babylon. I'm probably due for another show on that. It's clear to me. It transformed the world. It changed everything. And God's timing isn't measured in minutes. And things are changing. And we are heading into a warrior's soup. We are heading into very difficult times. Our central banking system, the Federal Reserve fiat currency system, is propelling our globe towards an imminent economic and financial collapse at an ever-increasing exponential pace. You cannot argue that. There is no, I've heard people say some of the craziest stuff, that how somehow they spend all this money and it comes back later and it's just dumb. I've heard people, and when you get into the kind of liberal mindset, truths and facts don't matter. They just make it up as they go. But we're heading that way. There's no turning back. Hyperinflation's out of control. Where do you want your money? Do you want it in an asset that's lasted as long as we've had written history? Do you want an asset that God in the Bible said, this is it? It's pretty simple, folks. You know, coins plus 444-0044. It's that simple. You need to ask yourself seriously, are your assets and wealth properly preserved for financial uncertainty? If you think that we're going to just have little road bumps the rest of the future of America, math doesn't say that. Common sense doesn't say that. Economics doesn't say that. We are a country that is strained at the core, racially, internationally, culturally, religiously, spiritually, morally. We are being torn limb from limb. But God makes a financial vehicle that avoids all that. You know, precious metals-based assets, numismatic coins, precious stones, they are not political. That you never heard that gold donated money to the Clinton campaign, but you sure can hear that about a corporation. You don't hear where gold hires crooked politician to give a speech and in order so that they can get government favor. You never hear the story of gold donating $14 million to Hillary Clinton's foundation so that they can get a special law passed so they can get more gold in the United States. Gold's not a person. It's got intrinsic value. It's an incredible element. There's a lot of reasons why it is what it is. It's in jewelry everywhere. It's got industrial use. Silver's the same way. Silver's got phenomenal upside. Numismatic coins outperform them all, hands down. There's no comparison over the long haul how numismatic coins have done, folks. But precious metals-based assets have been the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society throughout all written human history. And this is, it's not an investment. Investments involve risk of real loss. Precious metals are real money or true wealth. You're dealing with something that's documented, tested, and true from the earliest written human history, as I said, which is the Bible. The dollar's lost 99.5% of its spending power since the inception of the Fed. The cost of a home in America has gone from under $1,000 to nearly $300,000 in 100 years. You know, I mean, there's something wrong, isn't it? The consumer price index is deceptive. It's artificial index. It excludes food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs. We're being lied to all around. So, folks, we've got the solution. God made it simple. It's simple. You question and say you woulda, shoulda, coulda. You're not following God's word. Do you want to make your life simple? Do you want to do what He says, or do you want to just be caught up in the messed up system, in the washing machine of life, of the world? So, you know, it's a decision that rests with you. It's very simple to me. So, Coins Plus, we specialize in this. We take it serious. We're good at it. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Again, 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website, coinsplus.com, where we have all of our previously recorded radio shows. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great evening. We'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.